T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. I'm still down in Orlando at the NFL annual meeting. This morning we heard from Dan Quinn. Yesterday afternoon we heard from Commanders General Manager Adam Peters. B. Mitch holding it down in the Navy Yard studios. Good morning, Brian. How you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
I think we got it. And you and I don't usually do this, but I think we got to at least open things up here and just – sending our thoughts and prayers to everybody involved with this thing in Baltimore, man.
Yes, man. I was just looking at a video of it, and
it's terrifying.
In 50 seconds, you see how the power goes out. They recover, but it's too late, and they hit it, and that bridge was down in 5 seconds, man. You can see it wasn't as many cars that would have been there if it was at a different time, but you know, it's very like odd for me because I was just down in Tampa, St. Pete area, and there's a bridge. They call it a Sunshine something bridge, I think, down there. And that bridge was hit by a barge in 1980, and it went down. And my son-in-law and his friend was talking. They were talking about it as we were crossing it. And then I wake up to this morning, man. It's you know, I don't know exactly how old the bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge here was, or but we got to find a way to, and these ships and things like that.
Yeah, the ship's got to be paying attention.
He lost power, and you can't steer when you lose power. But still, it has to be some level. Or let's say once you get into the channel, you got to get a barge to bring you through and or something. But that's horrifying and terrifying for some people out there. You see it. And listen, man, we have a lot of bridges. We cross a lot of bridges time and time again.
Sure.
And people have – I know Tony Kornheiser can't drive across the bridge or the Bay Bridge.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have these phobias about bridges, and I think this is going to add to that. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, I don't have the answers. I'm no engineer. It was just scary. I was supposed to be – so I found out about this, the NBC4 morning show, I don't want to get yelled at here. I believe it comes on at 4 a.m. It comes on really
early. It's
like
4:30, something like that.
Yeah, something like that, right? And I usually, when I go on, I ask for it to be as late as possible, but I usually go on at like 6:30. And I was supposed to go on this morning, you know, because I'm down here in Florida and there's plenty going on with the Commanders and everything else. And I woke up. I tend to kind of like wake up over the course of the night anyway, but I woke up to a text like, hey, you're not on, we're doing this Baltimore thing. And I was like, you know, I was like, what does that mean? And then I just looked on social media and you see the video.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's terrifying. Thing went down like it was. You just hope the best for everybody. I can't even imagine how long it'll take to get that rebuilt and redone and everything else.
Is there over 1.5 million cars a year going across that bridge?
Wow, yeah. Now we're gonna persevere and kind of move forward here. But I just wanted to address that off the top. There's no way to ignore that.
No, you can't.
But here's what we're gonna do going forward. Adam Peters talked yesterday at length with reporters. I don't believe anybody has played the full audio yet. We're going to do that at 10:30, and I think it might take us all the way up to 11 because he talked for a while, and we have a little thing called commercials in between. So you're going to hear full Adam Peters audio. And I thought it was, you know, you got to remember that Peters is relatively new to this GM stuff. Like, he's been obviously a high-ranking football official for a long time, but he told us this was his first owners' meetings. He had never been to these because this is only the owner or the head coach and the GM that come to these things.
Yeah.
And so he hasn't done a ton of media. And I thought, credit to the Commander's PR department, they put us in a really good kind of setting for this. And I think people were, I think like fans were pretty surprised. We kind of collectively, the people in the room, I don't want to say who it was because we all, you'll hear everybody's voice. It was 48 from the Post, John Keim, Standing from Athletic, Dave Harrison with Sports Illustrated, me. I think that's it. So if I forgot anybody, I'll add to it later. But we all agreed not to tweet while we were talking to him so you could have more of a conversation and you're not looking at your phone and you're not typing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it, Brian, it really made for a better conversation. And, like, you're not going to be able to recreate that all the time, but it was pleasant to not be looking at my phone or my computer the whole time and just having a conversation, you know, a fairly highbrow football conversation. And I thought you might appreciate that as somebody that's always telling me to.
And I need you to do that more often, though. If there's a high alert situation, I understand it. But every minute of every day, that has to be annoying. I'm just being real. Like,
bro, you're not wrong.
Yeah, it's like you got to just you miss a lot when you're always looking down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to keep working on you, though. Keep working on you.
Well, dude, in my defense, and I don't know that I need to defend it, but the one complicating factor is we work in competitive industries, right? And and you cultivate an audience and people that care about your coverage and analysis because you give that coverage and analysis. And then if you're not and someone else is, like, that's the competitive nature of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that, but I'd say this. What I've learned a long time ago, there are a lot of people that are so hell-bent on being first, and they're absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
So I think if you're hell-bent on being right, whether you come out at 8 o'clock or 8:02, they're going to listen to you anyway because they know when you bring it real.
Now, Jeff just tweeted, or texted rather, pleasant to be present. I find some irony in that, considering he wasn't present yesterday.
He's not but present Jeffrey, right now. You,
yeah, perfect. Is he still being an actor?
No, but, no. He's on his
has
way
Jeff
in.
Moved to Hollywood?
He's on his way in, and I think he said it's traffic. I can believe it's traffic out there, so I'm not going to question him on that one. But I'm just saying, like, everybody else here early, so it's just – and he lives closer to here than anybody else, so. Just saying. You know, it's like – You start thinking about it like, okay, you live within 6-7 miles from this place, probably closer, but you're the one that's always late and worried about traffic when everybody else, I am 37 miles away.
Who is farther, you or Landfill?
Probably me.
Ooh. Because I'm Centerville, and I have to get, because Landfill comes straight up. He goes up 7, so he doesn't really take the toll road. So it's probably what and what. Both of them are right around 30 miles or so.
I've tried taking 7 to 193 and all that. I would rather pay the $6 and just go on the toll road.
I'm with you.
I can't stand the lights. Now, if it was a 66 kind of toll where it's like a moving
it
target,
takes
some days it's
the way
$50.
It takes me a shorter route. Probably, because
right.
I'm going on wherever I can do the fastest. I'm that's the road I want to be on.
All right, now we got some news breaking here in Orlando. NFL owners have voted; they've now officially moved the trade deadline back a week. Goes from the end of week 8 to the end of week 9 to the Tuesday after week 9. So, what does that do? I think it could generate more trades. The end of week 9, depending on when your buy is, you can have a pretty good idea if you're competitive that year or not. Mm-hmm. And we're already seeing the NFL trade market. I mean, hell, we certainly saw it in Washington last year when Montez and Chase were traded away. Yep. Like, you're starting to see more and more of that. And I think pushing it back a week will create even more teams' just ability to know their season's cooked and they should build for the future anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It roughly will go from, like, Halloween to November 10th,
but
roughly.
Does that put it in a position now where people begin to, okay, we're going to just build next year and run, stop happening? Because, like, we've seen teams start off 0-5, 0-6. Now, you're sitting at 3-6, and then you go on a run for the next 7 weeks or so, you're right back in it. So I'm wondering, will that affect runs now and make this thing a little different instead of us seeing those type of things?
Yeah, I sure. You can definitely – I mean, I think a lot of that stuff becomes situational too, right? If you got a GM that's just starting and knows that they have a relationship with the owner that they got 3 years to build – maybe you want to tear down if you get to week 8 and it's looking rough.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got a GM or a coach, whoever's in charge, and it's week 8 and it's year 3 and they haven't won a playoff game yet, they might be that much more aggressive trying to get somebody. They're like, man, if we had a good tight end, this offense could really move.
There you go.
Like, so much of this league is situational and self-preservation driven. Hell, so much of life is that anyway. Yeah. But the bigger news, I'd say, is they passed the kickoff rule, B.
Okay.
I really think this is going to be a positive move for the league. I think in general, and I'm not just saying this to kiss up to you, in general, return men are maybe the most, but certainly among the most athletic, explosive, exciting players on a team. Like, in general, that's who you want returning for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more chances the paying public, that fans, that the audience get to see those guys with the ball in their hand, the better. And I think we're going to get to see more returns.
Yeah, I'm with that. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I like this better than I did the
hip drop.
The swivel hip drop, whatever thing yesterday.
Yeah,
I just believe that is going to become a problem because it is still very, very much not clear enough for people to just see it one time and know exactly what it is. And I think you're going to have some people who just want to call stuff, calling it all the time, and others that don't. And it's going to be a little confusing to the people actually on the field that you want it to be consistent so where you don't it doesn't become dangerous.
Sure. Well, I think a little part of me kind of thinks they got hip drop done yesterday, so then they could roll out the kickoff rule today and let that kind of take over as the story, because I think there's more support for it. I know that for coaches, there's way more support for it. Coaches are into this kickoff rule because they think it'll generate more it makes the kickoff relevant again, and it got to be damn near irrelevant. Now, punts will always be relevant just because of the nature and where they can come. They can come anywhere on the field, right? Like, it's an entirely different functionality. But kickoffs became completely irrelevant. And I think that it was a disservice to the game.
True.
But, dude, I do think a lot of these rule changes will generate more, frankly, like, time sucks. Like, so they just passed another thing. Allowing, we talked about this yesterday briefly, I think, B, that the league is going to allow more plays to become replay eligible, including if a quarterback is down by contact or out of bounds before throwing a pass. And I think also this one's going to be tricky because this happens frequently. How many times, and I frankly find it remarkable how arbitrarily it is officiated when the play clock gets to zero. I mean, it seems like
as if
you
they
see
can't
that.
See a zero.
Right. And now I understand because where the play clocks are actually on the field are in the far corners of the end zones. And so if the ball's at roughly midfield, I mean, you've got 22 dudes on the field, fans going nuts. Like, it does, I think, get hard to focus on the play clock. I think it's ridiculous.
That person's job is to watch the clock. Shouldn't be that. Right. He shouldn't have that much problem.
But now their competition committee amends Rule 15, Section 3, Article 9, to allow a replay review when there is clear and obvious visual evidence that the game clock expired before any snap.
If it's clear and obvious, they wouldn't have to have a damn replay, right? So, in other words, when one of your referees is not doing his damn job, you're going to allow them to go and look at it. Because if it's clear and obvious, then I know that it went to zero before the ball was snapped. So I shouldn't have to replay it, right?
Right.
You know, in other words, they're making a loophole for those who lose sight sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like.
Just think of that. Clear and obvious. If it's clear and obvious, we don't have to replay it.
I mean, let's now, be real. They also. I mean, this should forever be known as like the Niners rule because of that NFC Championship game where they ended up having to take Christian McCaffrey taking snaps out of the Wildcat. They've allowed even more flexibility with an emergency quarterback. The league voted to expand the standard elevation rules to permit clubs to elevate a bona fide quarterback in an unlimited number of times from practice squad to the active list to be the emergency third QB.
Why don't you just be prepared for it? I mean, I understand all of that, but for years, people had a guy in place to be ready to go. And you practice your plays every week. Why is it now it gets to a point and it's like, oh, Lord, this guy may have to go in and he's never taking a snap. He should be taking snaps. Even if you got these backup quarterbacks right now, okay? Like, let's be real. You watch a lot of practice. That third-string quarterback don't get a lot of snaps. That fourth-string guy really not getting snaps.
Sure.
So, is he even more prepared than the guy that may be at practice every day that you could give 5 to 10 minutes a day?
Speaking of quarterbacks, Brian, let's hear from Commanders General Manager Adam Peters what he wants in a QB. You will hear from Adam Peters next, right here on BMH Finland.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. B, I just ran in there listening to Rich McKay talk about the competition committee, all the changes they made.
Uh-huh.
And he was clear about this kickoff rule. There's going to be more returns. There's going to be less injuries. The kickoff rule is a win-win. Now, you do lose the element of surprise onside kicks.
Yeah.
But
you're only onside kick in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah. But you're declaring that you're doing it. But he also made it clear, because there's been this push to maybe instead of an onside kick, you have a 4th-and-20 play. And he basically was like, listen, I like that idea, but this year we had too much going on to try to get the new kickoff rule through.
I'm blessing.
We'll revisit that later.
I'm sending the house at you, 4th-and-20.
I mean, that was one of the things that frustrated me so much with Ron and Jack, is they'd get in these clear situations, 3rd-and-17, and just sit and play like a soft shell and just give up. Sitting with David Aldridge in press boxes watching games is one of my favorite things in the world, because DA is not shy when he thinks something should happen. And he would just be like, send the house.
Yeah.
And then they wouldn't do it, and they'd give up the conversion.
People just don't understand, like, you know, it's not about always getting home. It's making the QB feel uncomfortable or speed up. Or the offensive line, they have to be on point. And
totally.
Just confusion, man. That's all. Sometimes it's all it takes is you just speed him up a moment, like a little tick faster, and he'll throw it too soon or throw it out too far in front. But we sat back and we waited, and guess what they did? They wait till he got 40 yards down the field, and they hit him for 60.
So here's what we're going to do. Adam Peters spoke at length with reporters yesterday. Adam Peters hasn't done a lot of D.C. media. He hasn't answered a ton of questions. We haven't heard from him since they just signed about 100 dudes in free agency. We're going to play the Adam Peters audio in its entirety. We're probably going to have to go to break. We're also giving away Nats home opener tickets at 10:45. Let's start with AP now, and then you'll probably hear from me and B again. You took over to now. How much progress have you made getting this thing where you want it to go?
Yeah, we've really done a lot in a little short amount of time. In terms of where we need to be, we still got a long way to go, but we have some great pieces in place. We have a great coaching staff. Personnel staff's been awesome. So far, so good. I've been really, really excited to work with everybody. It's been awesome.
And when you look at the Frazier class, what was it that stood out to you about the guys you collected in the whole plan?
Yeah, I think it was really, we set out to get players that fit what we do, first of all, on the field, play the way we want them to play, the play style, and then the right type of people as well. And both of those things were really points of emphasis for us. And the way you do that, I think, a lot of times is, you know, people you know. You can research other teams, but the best evaluations you can do are when you're around somebody day in and day out. So we happened to get a lot of guys that we had really good familiarity with and knew what they were all about, and they knew their play style, their mentality, the way they practiced, the way they worked, how much they loved football. So those were the things we set out to do, and I thought we did. Our team did a really good job of getting those guys in.
Why Marcus, and how serious was the conversation about Donald or Jacoby or somebody else like that?
Yeah, Marcus, obviously he's been in the league a long time. He's won a lot of games. He's won playoff games. So knowing him from, he has a great relationship with Brian Johnson, who put in a great word for him. And so understanding what he's all about and the type of person he'd be in that room supporting whoever else is in that room. So, and the fact that he's still really good. You know, he's athletic. He can throw it. He's smart. And he's got familiarity with what we do. So we're really, really happy to get Marcus in. We explored, I think, anytime in free agency, you have to explore a number of different options because you don't know who you're going to get. But we're really excited to have Marcus.
What about the decision to trade Sam?
With Sam? Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an easy decision. And, since I first started talking with you guys when I got here, he's tough. He's really tough. He's smart. He's a great, great kid. He's talented. He's athletic, so there's a lot of great things about Sam. Ultimately, we thought as we went through that process, we talked with his representatives. We let them know what we were doing, like throughout it all. And once we decided as an organization that we're gonna explore a trade, we got some good interest. And ultimately, Seattle was really excited to get him. Him and his agent is Bruce Tolmer, really, really good agent and a friend of mine, and they were excited about getting to Seattle. So I think it was one of those things where it really worked out for us, it worked out for Sam, and then worked out for the Seahawks.
You guys obviously signed a lot of players, only re-signed a few. How much of all that was just ultimately, look, this was a team that was coming off a 4-win season and you just needed to reshape a lot of things?
Yeah, I think, we brought in guys, like we said, who we had great familiarity with. And the players that we brought in from Washington from the year before, I don't know if you guys saw last night with F.A., was special, what his presentation last night. But the players that, you know, we found, like Jeremy Reeves and F.A. and Cornelius and Jameson, those guys fit, you know, both what we do from a schematic standpoint and from a character standpoint. So we were really excited to bring those guys back. And then, so there was really no concerted effort either way to bring back Commanders or not bring back Commanders, just bringing in the guys that we thought could help us win and would help us build our culture.
Adam, right. Well, you've had a lot of new additions to the roster, a lot of 1-year contracts. Can you kind of talk about like the strategy behind that?
Yeah. So, you know, we have a lot of optionality moving forward by doing that. So it's by design. A lot of it's by just, you know, who's available and how they're available and how many years, you know, they want to sign for. But finding, you know, being able to sign some guys for longer term and some guys for shorter term, keeping the optionality for next year, we always want to build through the draft. And it's funny to say that, and we signed a lot of free agents, but I think we need to sign free agents in order to field the team, really. And but this gives us optionality, and we're going to build through the draft this year and next year and continue to do that and supplement through free agency.
You had two linebackers, Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louisville. What do each one of those guys add?
Man, those guys are awesome. Really excited to bring both of them in. Frankie just jumps off the tape. You know, the way he plays, his play style, his mindset, his mentality, and he's a playmaker. And on top of that, he's extremely passionate. I didn't know much about Frankie from other than watching him play and saying, I want that guy on my team. But you do research, and all his teammates absolutely love him. He's a great leader. So he brings a lot of versatility on our defense as well. And then Bobby's going to be a Hall of Famer. And Bobby brings, all those different things you see off the field, the leadership, the toughness, the work ethic. But then he's also a Pro Bowler. I mean, he's a really, really good player still. And so you have those two things. They complement each other well. And I think with Bobby being the quarterback of the defense, that allows Frankie to do things. Frankie can really do well.
And with Bobby, when you look at it, because when you get to a certain point, you want to make sure, what did you see on film last year that this guy can still play?
I think you just turn it on, you can see it. It's actually, I was watching him a few weeks before free agency, and it was actually against us. And so, one, Sam had a really good game there, as you can see why the Seahawks really like Sam, but then you see how good Bobby is and just the way he can see things and his range and his tackling ability, all those things. There hasn't been a drop-off, really. So it's been really cool, yeah.
When you were with the Niners, you were parts of big trades up and big trades back.
Yeah.
When you look at that number two overall pick, how do you balance the player you can get there versus the haul you could get for it if you're trying to build through the draft?
Yeah, it's a big decision, obviously. But I think just like anything we do, it's about what's best for us, right? So if the best thing for us is to stand pat, then we'll stand pat. But you're always going to listen to all the different possibilities, trading up, trading back, no matter where you're at, pick, you know, 36, 40, 67, 70, 800. So you're always going to look, okay, what are the best things for us? Weigh all the different possibilities and make the best decision you think for us at the time.
Whether you're going to tell us or not, do you know right now what you want to do?
Now we still have a lot of it. A month till the draft, sure. Today, yeah, right? So it doesn't sound like a long time, but you get a lot of information in that month, and there's still some of the guys we haven't seen still in person. So we'll go out and do that next week, see a couple more quarterbacks, and then we'll do visits with them, we'll do Zoom calls, we'll do a lot of different things. So we're far from our answer.
When you're at these pro days, what do you care about? Like, what are you looking for?
You get a lot of information at these pro days. It's obviously you get to see the person in the flesh, for lack of a better term, up close and personal, see them work out, whether it's, you know, a tackle doing a pass set or punching the bag. You can feel them punching the bag if you're this close, which you can't really see or feel on tape. But then, aside from the player evaluation, the people you'd speak with, you know, so you get a chance to talk to different people on that staff, talk to different people in the NFL, you know, just talk. You get a lot of information by doing that, and whether it's on that player, whether it's on a player that they played against, the player they coached before, all that. So it's a really, really valuable tool where you do it and you don't realize how valuable it is until the end of the week when you're kind of aggregating all the information. Like, gosh, we got a ton of information. This was a great week, and that's what last week was.
Back to the linebackers real quick. How do the two additions impact Jaden Davis and kind of your decision on his fifth-year option coming up?
Yeah, we still haven't talked through the fifth-year option yet with myself and DQ. But I think, you play with three linebackers, right? And so I think Jamin has a great skill set, and I think learning from a guy like Bobby is going to be invaluable to any linebacker. And we're going to try to get the best 11 on the field at all times. And that's DQ's job, and he's a master at that, at finding different personnel groupings. So however we can get a really good defense on the field, that's what he's going to do.
When you're at the pro days with the quarterbacks, what are you looking for? Because obviously they're thrown on air. So what are some of the little things you're looking for just to get a feel for the guy?
You can see leadership in those things, in terms of how they direct their team and their teammates and all that. That's really cool to see their communication, their leadership. You can see how they look physically, which you can't totally see on the tape all the time. You can see it a little bit and at the combine. A lot of times they're wearing sweats and whatnot. So you get to see their body type, kind of how big and strong they are. And then you can feel, their arm strength. You can look at their footwork, their touch. There's just so many different things you can see in person that maybe you couldn't really see on tape.
Have you gotten any clarity? You've talked about you want to know what everybody else is doing. It seems like folks are starting to draw a conclusion for the Bears at number one. Do you allow for a conclusion to be drawn there and really start to focus on what's going to be available at two?
Yeah, I think you got to be prepared for anything. I can't assume that they're doing they're drafting a certain guy at number one. So because if you do that and then they don't, then you're like, oh, shoot. But so you always have to prepare for everything, prepare like any options open. And so regardless of how much information that you have that says one thing leading up to it, you don't know until that card.
That is Commander's General Manager Adam Peters talking yesterday at the annual meeting down here in Orlando. We'll have more from Peters when we return, and we're giving away Nat's home opener tickets next. You got to have something. B. Mitchell Finley, right now, caller number 10, 800-636-1067. You get to win two tickets to Nat's opening day, Monday, April 1st, against the Pirates. First 20,000 fans there get a free reversible bucket hat. Pre-game festivities include an appearance by the world-famous Budweiser Clydesdales. I love those horses. Red carpet player introductions, live music, face painters, balloon twisters, and more. Gates open at 2. Opening day is always a blast. Hope whoever wins those tickets enjoys themselves. Maybe has a cold beer while they're at it. B, you want to play the rest of Peters, or do you want to react to some of what he said?
I can go either way. I mean, some of the things he said I like, but, I would love to hear everything else he said as well. So,
okay. Well, let's play the rest of it then. Commander's General Manager Adam Peters.
Dan said, I think the NFL Network the other day, that you can probably fair to say you can envision you guys taking a quarterback of the wear to ask you. But when did you?
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah. I guess we can start with go with that. Like, is what were you at, like, sort of on this, the idea of trading down? Obviously, anything is possible, but is that something you would actively seek? Or
I think just like, I hate to sound like a broken record here, but we're gonna do whatever we think's best for the team. So whether that's any of those different options, we have two quarterbacks on the roster right now, with Jake and with Marcus. So you want to go to camp with four. So we're gonna add two one way or the other. So however that happens, that's what we're gonna do.
And then,
just to follow up on that, when he says you can, fair to say you can envision a quarterback, when for you in this process did you think to yourself, when did you start envisioning that a quarterback was probably something that was gonna be in the cards?
I think really at any position, you want to make that room as strong as it can and as competitive as you can. So whether it's quarterback or, center, guard, whatever it is, you're always looking to add and make sure that you have competition in every room. That's something that Dan preaches all the time. So with two in the room, you're going to get two more and hopefully make that room as strong and as deep as possible.
Seems like you guys have a hole at left tackle. Is that something you plan to address, maybe – the risk for agency, is that a draft thing? How do you plan on doing that?
Yeah, I think, you said it's a hole. I think we have Cornelius there now, and we have Trent Scott, who's played well too. So I don't know if it's a hole in our view, but those guys have played and started and done pretty well. So, but just like the quarterback question, same thing. If we get a chance and we're in position to add a really good player there or anywhere, we'll do that.
You would be comfortable with those guys starting?
Yeah.
Okay. When you look at the quarterbacks, does it matter to you how ready they are to come right in and play?
Yeah, you weigh that. How ready are they immediately, or how much work do they have to do, and then how can you get them there? And so With the guys we have in the room right now, I don't think we have to rush anybody, and so that's a great thing. Whether with Marcus in there, with Jake in there, we're not going to have to rush whoever. If we draft a guy, we wouldn't have to rush him into play right away, and that's not how we work anyway. And we're going to play the person who's going to be give us the best chance to win.
Is there a right way to develop a young quarterback, to let him sit, throw him right in? Like, you've been parts of organizations that have gone a million different directions.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing to do in sports, I think, is evaluate and develop a quarterback. And but what you want to do is make sure you do as much as you can to let them develop. So we've built a DQ did an incredible job in terms of building a great ecosystem for quarterbacks in our building. When you have Cliff, then you have Brian Johnson, you have Tavita, and we have David Blau too. So there's four people right there that they'll be able to focus on the quarterback room, and it's like four quarterbacks, right? So you get it's 1-to-1 teacher, student ratio. That's pretty good. But no, I think that was intentional the way we did that, and so. You give yourself the best chance to develop whoever's in that room as fast as you can.
How much of your offseason moves have been about creating maximum flexibility for yourself during the NFL draft weekend?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And yeah, you always want to do that. You never want to get in a situation where you're drafting for need, and we don't ever want to do that. So a lot of that was the moves that we made is so we don't have to do that. You know, come in with a team where you think you feel ready to play, and then you can draft the best player available, and that's so I feel really good. Our guys did an incredible job of getting out and getting as many guys as possible that fit what we do, and so that makes our job easier in the draft where we can go ahead and pick the guys that we think are going to be the best Commanders.
How much things that we
one more?
You can each do one.
Okay. I would say how hard is it to not fall in love with one of the quarterbacks at this point? I know like you kind of went through this with the coaching search where you just kind of went through the process, but is it sometimes hard to not fall in love with that guy, and how do you kind of divorce yourself from not doing so? Unless he's that good, of course.
Yeah, it's funny, like with anything, when you're interviewing anybody, whether it's quarterback or coach or whatever, you just get a chance to, you really get to know these people and you really like them. You know, I don't know, that's just kind of how it goes. That's how I am anyway. Maybe I'm a sucker, but that's why it's good to have a great process and to go be thorough with your process and not make snap judgments and have recency bias, who the last person you talk to, oh, he's my favorite. So going through the whole process, like we were saying, all the way up to draft day and making the best decision with all that information and trying to be as unbiased as possible.
One thing I don't think we've asked you, and I apologize if we have, is before, I think, the end of the season, John Allen was on the radio talking about how he might not have the appetite to go through another rebuild. Do you expect him to be with the team this year?
Well, we're recalibrating. So we're not rebuilding. No, we've had some great talks with Jonathan, and can't wait to work with him. He's awesome. He's a great, great young man, and he's a great player. And so, really excited to work with him. So we are not interested in trading him.
He made that clear. The couple things that he wants to make clear, he will make clear. But what he will not make clear, Brian, is what the hell they're going to do at number two.
Yeah, that's true. I just one thing, I like a lot of things he said, most of the things that he said, but talking about the room that you have right now in the quarterback room that you're comfortable with, I'm not buying that one completely.
Not buying that one at
not
all.
Not buying that.
You know what else is
most
interesting?
Most of the stuff was truthful, and I could buy, but that's the situation where you're looking in the draft because you know that is not the room you want to go with.
I also don't buy that he's comfortable at tackle either.
Probably not, like, but I can tell you, like this year, I watched two of those
Big
guys
Luke
play
can
last
play a
year.
Little bit, though.
I thought both of those guys played better than what we had there at left tackle. So if we went a whole year with that, we can probably go a year with them and have a better scheme and give them some help.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. I also with John Allen, like on fans that – just look at a contract and see no guaranteed money and, you know, oh, we could trade him or whatever. You now have John Allen at a pretty good bargain. He's not even top 10 at the position. As the price tag for these D tackles continues to go up, and as Drew Rosenhaus walks by me and just got this Christian Wilkins deal done with Vegas where he's making 27 a year. Like, John at 18 is a deal, dude. Here's what we're going to do. Brian, I don't know that you're ready for this. But our friend, Little Nate X, Barstool Nate, Eric Nathan, has a new dating series. Seriously. And he, yes, he joins us next. Nobody go anywhere. Be Mitch Finley.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.